What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Fanatically Speaking. I'm Kent, the co-host and promoter.
I am Log Off, the Log Off legend, the hater of social media. I'm the co-host and producer of the show. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Fanatically Speaking. We're actually going to change the format just a little bit this show. What we're going to do is we're going to go into the real versions of football teams. We've got a list of teams that have been bipolar in a lot of ways where you can't tell whether or not they're good. What were you going to say? To say the least?
To say the least. Like week to week and, you know, week 10 just happened and we're still thinking about these teams. Some have, you know, hot new stories. Some it's just their play in general. Like you said, week to week, we don't know what we get.
Yeah, no idea whatsoever. So we're going to put that to the test this show, and we're going to try to find out who are the real versions of these teams. We're going to go ahead and start with the New York Football Giants. New York Football Giants, please stand up. And we saw what happened with them this past week, but the big story coming out of the Giants locker room is they fired their coach. They got rid of their head coach. And this was a gentleman that you called out earlier this year. And I believe I put this in the group chat that you wanted his head on a stick earlier this year. You were like, yeah, this guy's horrible. This guy's terrible. Let's go ahead and get him out of there. When you saw the news, what was the first thing that crossed your mind?
I wasn't surprised. Brian Daboll getting fired this season alone, blown four leads. That they had the game won, a couple of three double digit, they were leading by double digits and blew the game. And to me, even though Jackson Dart, rookie quarterback, has shown a lot of potential and promise, Scadabo, of course, got hurt. They've got some weapons there on offense. Neighbors got hurt too. So it's not so much the offense. They've been able to do that, which is what Daboll does. But that defense is pretty good. So for them to be blowing leads like this, it is going to come back to coaching. So, yeah, not surprised after this past week as well, blowing another game and just having a horrible record too. I mean, going from that first season where he was coach of the year, 9 wins, they win a playoff game, and then since then it's just been a gradual decline.
Yeah, gradual decline, and that's fair. I actually like the Giants' chances this season. But first out of the – and you know me, man. I've never been a big Russell Wilson fan. It's not for football reasons, though. I just think he's, you know, lame.
Corny.
But he's corny. But he Russell Wilson was playing well. I thought he was playing well. Struggled out of the box in the first game versus Washington. But he had that big game against Dallas, you know, where they lost in overtime. He put up 450 yards, okay? Then he had one bad game after that, you know, where against Kansas City. I mean, go figure. And then it's like, oh, okay, let's go ahead and get Jackson Dart in there and get him some reps. So they were been up and down all year in that regard. Like you said, we've seen some flashes with Jackson Dart. I do think he's got a future. I don't know how good. I think he could be a nice middle-of-the-road quarterback that can be a starter in this league. But, I mean, I think from coaching staff, offense, defense, and special teams, just as a whole – they weren't going to be a playoff team no matter what. And I know we look at the division, the NFC East. It's what I tell everyone every year. You know, if you talk about the Eagles, if you talk about the Giants, you talk about the Giants, it doesn't matter, or the Commanders. They beat each other up all season, every season. But all what happens is one team, you know, rises to the top and ends up winning the division. Lately, it's been the Eagles. But – this is a competitive division, which, I mean, and I don't want to sound too biased, but I think it's one of the better divisions in all of football in the NFC. And it's because those teams know each other so well and they're always competitive. And no matter how bad they are, you're always going to get a team's best shot. But the Giants are done. Like, their season is over. And I think right now they're just pretty much trying. I don't want to say tank. It's hard to tank in football. But I think they're going to try to just sit the rest of this out and, you know, just kind of ride the wave until the end of the year. Try not to get any star players hurt, you know, cut some guys, sign some guys, get another head coach, and then just try again next year.
Yeah, and when we talk about the Giants and we say, will the real New York Giants please stand up, Here's kind of what I thought about was you go back some years, right? They hired Daboll. They got him at the time, Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley. They decide not to keep Saquon. Not that they blame Saquon, correct, but they said, okay, we don't want to pay you, but we also don't want this and that. And ultimately he goes to Philadelphia and thrives and wins the Super Bowl. Then they blame Daniel Jones, even after giving him a huge contract. Ship him out, right? Get him out of there. So now Daboll has really nothing and the Giants. So you see this, right? Saquon, Daniel Jones. Then they get Jackson Dart, right? Eventually, so they started with Russell Wilson, like you said, but it was only a matter of time. As soon as that, I told a Giants fan, I said, as soon as it starts going south, they're going to Jackson Dart. Why? Because Daboll's got to do whatever he can to save his job. Which goes in that conversation of why is Dart out there running? Why is he getting concussions or, you know, checked for concussions? Daboll is coaching for his job. Anytime you make that switch, he's trying to save the season. They did bring energy. Dart brought energy. Scatabo brought energy. They beat the Eagles. So they had something going. And, again, that defensive line is unbelievable. So, again, them blowing these games, all that. Joe Shane still has a job, somehow, and he's the one making the decisions about Saquon, Daniel Jones, other things. Again, I like a lot of the players they have, and they're kind of in that injured, like I said, injuries hit them hard with Neighbors and Scatabo, and now Dart. But again, it's like, will the real Giants stand up? Like, who do you blame next? And it's going in the order that you blame, right? The first they couldn't make up their mind on quarterback, running back. Then they kept the coach. They got the rookie in there. Now the coach is gone. So will they fire Joe Shane, the GM, at the end of the year? We shall see. We want to know, like, what is your plan? Because, again, you put all your eggs in the Daniel Jones basket, and now that's over. Now you got Jackson Dart. They got good pieces, good young pieces to build a winner. Selfishly, I don't want to see that, but then, like you said, do they just kind of tank? Because the biggest thing I would say is they got a pretty good defense. Obviously, picking a coach is going to be important. But, you know, they got a draft. Like, get that offensive line straight. You got that. You got your who you think is your quarterback. Get the offensive line. Protect your quarterback. Get healthy. And I think they can get it right. But it will depend on who they hire as a head coach.
And I agree with that. And I'm just going to kind of bring the point home of the real version of the Giants and whether or not they're going to stand up or, you know, stay on their back where they are right now.
Yeah.
They haven't had stability in that franchise since Tom Coughlin. So let's just put that out there.
Very true.
Here are their coaches and their successors since Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin to Ben McAdoo to Steve Spagnuolo to Pat Shurmur to Joe Judge. And then Brian Daboll, and then they just got him out. So in the last decade, that's their coaching carousel that they've had. Like you said, you've mentioned all the players that they've had and that they let go, and you know they brought some guys. It's never worked out in the past 10 years. It's been unstable. And out of all those coaches that were there, like their records are horrible. It's just one of those things where out of all those coaches that I named, none of them have a winning record. So I have no idea who they're going to go try to get. I mean, it's the Giants. The names that they had post-Tom Coughlin, I was never impressed by anyway.
Nope.
And maybe that's just them trying something new. I feel like they need to go out and try to get a winner. And just in my opinion, you know, what I think they should do is try to go find a good young up-and-coming coach in the college ranks that they can bring in. I've got some names, but I think that's what that franchise needs. They need a new energy, man. I feel like they were doing the same old thing over and over again, and it hadn't been working for them. You got nothing to lose. You might as well go ahead and try to do something different.
Oh, yeah. Go break the bank.
Yeah, break the bank. Yeah, just go get a new young guy. It's super easy, man. There's plenty of them out there.
Make a splash.
Splash.
All right, so next team, we'd like for the real Green Bay Packers, would they please stand up?
Please stand up. So Packers played the Eagles. You know, wasn't that game in Lambeau?
Was it Lambeau?
It was at Lambeau, okay? Cold game. It was an ugly game, all right?
Very ugly. Very ugly.
It was an ugly game, although I will say I was entertained by it just because it felt like every snap had the potential to be a big play because you knew it was a game that was lacking those plays. Mm-hmm. We'll get into the big plays that the Eagles made later. I'm not going to gloss over that. But the Packers, up and down year, man. I picked them to be my team to come out of the NFC, and boy, have they let me down.
Yeah.
I thought this would be where Love, you know, as their franchise quarterback, gets over the hump and shows that he can go and win close games, games like the one that they played against the Eagles. They don't have it. It's they made the Micah Parsons trade, so they bring him in. Their defense is stout. You know, for you to be able to hold the Eagles to 10 points, that's a win. You can stop all those guys, and especially at home in a big game with all the eyes on it, it's a win for them as a success of what they did, even though they didn't actually come with a win in the win column. But from the game, what are your thoughts on it, Eagles-Packers?
Well, the game, the season, look at the time. Like I said, they went Micah Parsons. They went out and got him, right? And that was supposed to be the difference maker. This is going to put Green Bay over the top, over the edge, makes them the favorite, heavy favorite, even though, right, the Eagles are the top team. So they go, this season, though, they have lost to the Browns. They tied with the Cowboys. And now they've lost to the Panthers. And then on a back-to-back week, they lose to the Eagles at Lambeau. No shame in losing to Philadelphia, even at Lambeau. But this was a big game. This was a huge game for them because it has playoff seeding implications. So now this just puts the Eagles a notch above the Packers. But sticking with the Packers again, you lose to the Panthers at home. Again, defense really not giving up a lot of points. The same in the Browns game. Now the Cowboy game was a shootout. But you tie. So you're not where you thought you were going to be. Anytime you have a tie on your record, you're never going to be where you want to be. But so now they got that tie. They got these losses. Browns are not really that good. Panthers either. You know, they're middle of the road. Cowboys too. So it's not look good for them. And again, I think what everybody's watching is Jordan Love is kind of been the difference. If you watch some of the, you know, even without Tucker Kraft now, and Matthew Golden was out last, at the game against Philadelphia. But they show these replays where he's not seeing the open guy. He's missing or errant throws, fumbles, taking bad sacks. So the offense isn't clicking. And that's not all on Jordan Love, but when you're the quarterback, you are the leader of the offense. And you see the frustration in Matt LaFleur. And I think it was Chris Canty on ESPN today. I was listening and watching. And he said Jordan Love's going to cost Matt LaFleur his job. So it's the Packers, you know, not that if they're – I still think they make the playoffs. But, you know, if they fizzle out and don't compete, you never know. This league, they have a short memory of the success you had in the past season or two seasons, whatever playoff run they had that one year with Jordan Love and LaFleur. They're going to forget about that. You got to produce now in a competitive NFC. And they are falling back behind everybody.
So, and that's the thing that I wanted to make sure we were keeping an eye on. They're only 5-3-1. The tie does hurt because it's a half game at best.
Yep.
But 5-3 would be a good record. I think anybody within any NFL fan say, hey, look, you know, going into halfway through the season, your team's 5-3. Do you take it? I think most people say yeah. So that's a success in that regard. This does fall on Jordan Love, and it's because the games that they lose is just a lack of being able to produce points. That offense isn't that terrible. And we've seen the flashes where they can go out and score, you know, 31 points against, you know, the Lions. They can put 40 on the Cowboys, even though it ends in a tie. You know, 27 on the Lions, you know, 27 against the Commanders. Like, we know they have the ability to score. But when you come out in 13 versus the Panthers, one touchdown at home versus Philly.
Yeah.
It reflects poorly on Jordan Love. And one thing that you said about Matt LaFleur, if I'm Matt LaFleur, I change nothing about what I'm doing. I go out and coach games the same way I'm coaching them. I don't feel like he's coaching that team to lose.
No.
They just so happen to be losing. However, if Matt LaFleur, right now we're recording this at 6:15 p.m., if Matt LaFleur got fired right now, he'd have another coaching job offer at 6:17.
He would have the New York Giants job at 6:17.
He would be lined up within minutes. His agent would have offers for him to get another job. And honestly, you know, he's had a lot of excuses as a head coach.
Yeah.
I know he's a good coach.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't want to coach Aaron Rodgers as great as he was. You know, kind of a pain in the ass. But the success at the highest end of football, you know, coaching, he hadn't been able to accomplish. Mm-hmm. But if I'm him and this is an opportunity, I feel like if he does get let go, no one's going to look at him and say, hey, he failed that franchise.
No.
Someone will give him another opportunity to coach damn quick. So to kind of get back to the question, the real Green Bay Packers, I think we see them. Up and down, stagnant offense, defense is stout, which in a lot of cases will win you games. But when your offense can't get you into double digits, so that way you have an opportunity to win at the end of games, yeah, man, it's just there's nothing you can do. So maybe they'll make the playoffs. I don't know, man. It's hard to say. I don't know if I trust them enough to win enough of these close games to put up enough points to be able to make a playoff run, even if it is a wild card spot.
We're going to step into the team they played. So next we go into the Philadelphia Eagles. So will the real
Philadelphia Eagles please stand up? Because I want to lead off on this because we know the talent the Eagles have. Super Bowl champion, they came back. Okay, they won the Super Bowl. They're going to get everyone's best shot this year. And watching the game versus the Packers, the thing that stood out the most to me was I feel as if that offense isn't necessarily – they're not trying to lose – I feel like they're trying to not lose games as opposed to trying to go out and do the things that an offense can do. And I'm just going to bring up the two plays. It was the huge, you know, Saquon run catch out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. The prettiest spin move ever, man. Oh, my God. His spin moves are – it's crazy. And then, obviously, you know, the Devontae Smith catch touchdown in the end zone just went out and got it. When he knew they needed a big play, he snagged it, scored them a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Awesome. We know they have that ability. But the thing is just being able to move the ball down the field and score a touchdown and then get your defense back out there to give your offense a rest. I feel like their offense is just out on the field too long all game. And you get to wear down their defense. But you saw the Packers are ready for that the entire night. They were like, oh, bring it. You're going to try to run Saquon again? We're only going to let him get a half a yard. He's going to make some big plays. We know that. He's too explosive. But you're not going to be able to win long term, and I think they're trying to play like a early version of playoff football to get to the playoffs, to play playoff football. And I would rather them just go out there and take chances. I don't care if Hurts throws interceptions. I don't care if they throw some trick plays in there just to pick up big chunks of yards. I just want to see them try more, and I feel like they're a little too much of a Happy Meal type offense.
Okay.
Where you know exactly what you're going to get out of them. Yeah. And then it's just a matter of whether or not my guys are better than your guys.
Yeah. They're kind of, again, we talked about this before. They're kind of counting on a big play and that one big play to work. Now, last night it did, right? Like Saquon made the one play. And then
he did.
And Devontae, you know, slightly underthrown ball. But Devontae made the play. But I got to get into – I got a couple things to hit on the Eagles from the game. Positive, they gave up no sacks from this Green Bay Packer defense.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
So
wow, no, that's a good stat. Look at you pulling out the stats.
So that was very good on the offensive line, who Lane Johnson went out for a while. They had Toth at center instead of Juergens. He was out. So they had to put in Fred Johnson some for Lane. And then when they had their heavy package, they had Pryor in there too. And credit to Jalen Hurts as well for escaping the rush from Parsons and others. So that was a big thing, by the way. I mean, that's huge. Just to say that, yeah, the offense is kind of stagnant. They haven't ran the ball very well, and they don't have these explosive plays, a lot of yards. But at the end of the day, giving up no sacks was big. And then, like I said, we've seen them have big plays. I don't know why they don't do more. They sometimes can be predictable with the run, but it's like, how do you only throw to A.J. Brown, you know, twice at one point? Because I'm going to get to the one time they, the other time that they did, and I nearly lost my mind. They're only targeting him a little bit, and I'm like, man, he's too good. That's where, again, we talk about the creativity, and we saw that the prior game against the Giants where, you know, he had the big plays, the touchdowns. It's like, this is what we expect every game. When you have Devontae and A.J., Saquon, Goddard, you have weapons. They need to open this offense up, and that's what I say. One week they do, the next week they don't, and we have to go back and forth with this on what kind of offense does this team have. The defense is getting better. They've added some pieces. Jalen Phillips played really well. His first game as an Eagle. Odoree Jackson should be the target of every team. So hopefully Jaire Alexander can get to play soon. So they're looking better. Nolan Smith came back. So the defense, props to them as well for holding the Packers to 7 points. And I would only say this, I kind of be a little negative, is that I felt like on that drive too for the Packers, the Eagles played really soft defense. They did not play the same defense they had played all year. I mean, the whole game. So I really do. And again, they had the other drive with Jalen Hurts fumbled, and he was almost down. It happens, right, when your quarterback runs. His fumble was definitely not as bad as Jordan Love's, trying to make something out of nothing as he's getting sacked, and he ends up just, you know, fumbling the ball away. But then I have to also hit on that Nick Sirianni decision. I've got his back. I've got all their back. But at 4th and 6, and you have to, at this point, they got to give the ball back to the Packers. The smart decision, because of where the ball was at, they're like 35-yard line, their own 35, the Packers 35. So if you don't get this 4th and 6, then the Packers get the ball right there, and they're about 20 yards or so from field goal range-ish, right? So of all things, one, they stop the clock because they decide to throw a deep pass to A.J. Brown, a basically up for grabs, A.J., just go get it, jump up, moss this guy, and catch a touchdown. Now, if you watch the game, they did not get it. They gave the Packers in a field goal. They're up by a field goal. They give the Packers the ball with 33 seconds, I believe. They give them the ball back. Luckily, the Packers had to try a 64-yard field goal. But I honestly, that was one of the dumbest things I've seen. A dumb coaching decision. I know we're in this new age of football with analytics, and you do this and you try this, whatever, whatever. I don't know for the life of me why they would not punt that ball to try to pin them in. Worst case, touchback, they get it at the 20 instead of, you know, right there, one good pass by Jordan Love, and they're going to be in field goal range. And they almost was in today's NFL. A 64-yard field goal now is like a 30-yard field goal. So they got lucky. That was a stupid decision. Cannot have that. And that there again, Nick Sirianni, please stand up. And, you know, are you going to coach like an idiot, or are you going to coach like a Super Bowl champion? Which one are you going to do?
So I'm not going to let you do this.
Oh, I will.
I'll let you get that out. I'm not going to let you do this. You started that off by saying that you wanted them to be more aggressive. I didn't make that up. You said
there's a time and place.
You wanted to be more aggressive.
There is a time and place.
I agree with you. And here's the thing. Even if it was a dumb decision to go forward on 4th and 6, if you make it and they make it, you're glad that he had the balls to take a shot like that. And here's the thing. it wasn't to their detriment. He was gauging the way the game was being played and the way the Packers defense, you saw how impactful they were, man. Like, they were making fantastic reads. And I think it was that fourth and six play. The only reason why I like it is because you see so many teams fake like they're going to make that, like they're going to go for it, and then they don't. And then they chicken out, and then they call a timeout, and then they put their punt unit back out there to punt the ball. And he's like, you know what? What we got to lose? We're holding our own against them on the road, against this defense. You know, we show that we have the ability to go out there and score points. We have the better offense. We got the better quarterback. We got the better coach. We got the better running back. Let's go out there and see what we can do. And they tried it. It didn't work. I don't think this is something that Nick Sirianni is going to do every week. So I understand dunking on them because it didn't work. But if it had worked, I don't think you'd be bringing it up. And you talked about, you know, airing it out to A.J. Brown. You have to in a lot of these situations. You got to take those shots. It's no different than the pass that was thrown to Devonta. Like, it's going to happen. You've got to take those shots. You've got to take those chances. As great as the players are within the offense, they aren't polished enough to be able to run perfect sequential plays. You have to take your chances and pick your spots when you can. So, personally, I don't have much of a problem with it. And if they would end up losing that game, yeah, I understand you being upset yeah, about it. You would point right back to that one play, right?
Well, because of the situation. I mean, you just can't give them the ball right there with the game on the line and they could tie it with a field goal. If they were up by – I would felt better if they were up by a touchdown or 6 points and say, you know, Packers got to go down and score a touchdown. We're going to give them the ball here with 33 seconds. Good luck. But the fact that they're one pass away from field goal range – you just can't do that. That's all. That's what I mean. I can't agree with it. And they've done this before on fourth and long or fourth and shorts where they've thrown it deep and it worked, right? They hit AJ. But with the game on the line in that situation, I don't know another coach that would have done that. And again, he does this sometimes in past seasons, and I'll get over it because they won the game. But still, I stand firm. I stand firm.
So, okay, so let's, in terms of the real Eagles, let's go with what you want to see. Do you want a coach who doesn't take those chances at all? So even when it's to his benefit, even when it's to the benefit of the team, even if it's to the benefit of getting a guy who is, you know, he might be he's the whiniest wide receiver A.J. Brown is the whiniest wide receiver in a long time. That week it's like, ugh.
But that's not the situation.
I'm saying you've got to take those shots. You've got to take those chances.
Not in that situation.
So you're saying
the goal. But
what situation specifically? Be specific.
It's fourth down. They have to give the ball back. You're either trying a long field goal, you're going to punt, or you're going to go for it. Right? And it's fourth and six. And it's, again, at the 35, in between the 35, 40-yard line of the Packers. So, in that situation, with a game on the line, right? So, Packers are out of timeouts. You're going to have to give them it back unless you go for it or kick a field goal, which, in that weather, you're not going to kick a field goal because then if you miss, you're really giving it to them damn near midfield. That's what I'm saying. In that situation, the goal is to win the football game.
And they did.
Barely. They got lucky.
Well, win is a win.
But I'm saying the play – that doesn't change that the play call was bad.
So let me – okay, so I'll try to put it on this because I don't want to turn this into like the fourth and sixth segment.
I got you.
But the only thing I'll say is I'll ask you just two questions. One, when it comes to fourth and six, do you feel like that team – was capable enough as an offense to get those 7 yards that they needed?
If it may be in a different spot of the game, right? Not in that spot. And truthfully, again, look at the game, right? Not a lot of yards, not a lot of offense either way. Fourth and six is like, that's a long ways in that game also. If you're asking me that, that's tough.
You do realize that the Eagles offense that we're talking about has four Pro Bowl caliber starters on it. Hurts,
yeah.
Saquon, Brown, Smith. And you're telling me they're not capable of getting you 7 yards and make a big play when you
need. I didn't say they're not capable. I said on that night, on last night, that's a tough task with the game on the line where you're trying to win. And they haven't done anything. And that's what we're talking about, right? The real Philadelphia Eagles stand up. Yeah, like sometimes I'd be like, yeah, go for it. Fourth and six. Not in that situation, though, ever. But middle of the game, you want to go for it? Go for it. You don't feel comfortable in kicking a long field goal? Go for it. Like Greg Olsen said, more and more teams are going to be going for it right in that area instead of kicking the field goal. I have no problem with it. I just got, like I said, that. Last on that game, that night, that situation, I did not like it.
It worked out.
You get lucky, and we'll take it.
I'll certainly take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. A win is a win. Oh yeah! For the next one, we'll go to your Carolina Panthers.
Not mine. Our home team. Yeah.
The hometown Charlotte Carolina Panthers. With the real Panthers, please stand up. I think the real Panthers have been in front of us all season. They've been opportunists. They've been winning the games that they were just good enough to win. I don't even know the stats, you know. I don't even know the stats of their last win when they beat Green Bay. Mm-hmm. I believe Bryce Young had 102 yards, and I think I'm doing that. And I think I'm doing that from memory.
Yeah.
Now, so they're opportunists in the way that when things happen to their benefit on the football field, they capitalize on it. Their run game is crazy. Okay. They are fantastic moving the ball up and down the field, and they've had opportunities to win games whenever they need to. However, this is a – if the entire league is broken up into three tiers, the Panthers are in the bottom tier disguised as a team that's in the second tier. They're not a great team, man. And you know, you could say that their record is their record, but – all in all, I don't think anyone has any confidence in the Panthers confidence in the Panthers to do anything of significance this season anyway. And even if they do make the playoffs, I don't care who their matchup is. You're going to bet money that they'll get smoked.
Yeah.
So for them to play against a division opponent in the Saints and to lie down the way that they did in that game, I don't think it surprises any of us. It's just – it's one of those things that's going to happen with a team like this. They're still trying to figure things out. Bryce Young, as a starting quarterback, very undersized. He looks really scared out there sometimes. He lacks the arm strength to drive the ball down the field. I saw so many weak-armed passes from him, over this past weekend. It frustrates me because their line tries their best, but when he starts to feel pressure, he panics a little bit. And he's not a big guy that can just push the ball and get it to where he needs to get it. You know, tipped passes, short passes, passes hitting the dirt, interceptions. It's just things that you just can't – you have to account for those happening in your offense, and you have to coach the game around it, which is why they run the ball so damn much. But good for them. You know, their record – what are they, right at 500 now?
They're 5-5, yes.
So they're 5-5. I mean, you wouldn't be surprised if they lose their next three games. It's just they're not a good team. It's been a great season for them. This is a good year for them.
Oh yeah,
they're learning a lot, right?
Yeah,
but they're not a good football team, and I think anybody who's honest with themselves, they know that.
Yeah, when they I told a Panther fan this, shout out to them, that if the Panthers finish 8-9. That's a win.
It's a success.
You know, no one.
That's a successful season.
Nobody's expecting them to win the division, even make the playoffs, really. I heard chirps of that in the offseason, and then you watch them play their first 2 weeks, and you're like, yeah, this is not a playoff team. Because when they have lost, normally they get blown out and they look really bad. That's the biggest thing that stands out to me. But again, each week, we don't know. Like, 1 week at home, they're dominant, and they shut out the Falcons. They beat the Dolphins, beat the Cowboys. They go to Lambeau, beat the Packers, but then...
And then they play the Patriots and lose 42-13. That's what I'm saying.
Patriots, 42-13. let's see. The Bills, 40-9, which they had Andy Dalton that game. But still, they have looked bad in their losses, and their wins are kind of like you just never know. Like, they toughed it out against the Jets. And Bryce Young, like you said, I'm pulling for them. I'm rooting for the Panthers. Like you said, a hometown team. I want to see them successful. But you see those throws like Bryce and not being able to throw over the line and bigger guys. And like you said, getting that push to the ball. I see a lot of those throws. And you see but then there's times where you see him and he's smooth. And especially out of the pocket, he does a lot better. He makes great throws. And I don't know what the Saints – I told you about the Saints earlier this year, Kellen Moore. He's got them playing really well, even in losses. But it was kind of weird for them to come in and pretty much dominate the Panthers. I know 17-7 doesn't seem like domination. But, you know, when you turn the ball over like the Panthers did and then just let a rookie quarterback in Tyler Shuck come in and beat you like that. And they just traded, Shaheed to Seattle. So they're one less weapon. And you still get beat at home. And the Panthers have been good at home, and that's what I think was biggest for me was losing at home to the Saints. I don't care about a divisional game or not, because the Falcons, who I think are better than the Saints, they came in and couldn't do anything. So we don't know week to week again. This is what we're talking about. I don't know what team week to week the Panthers are going to be. I don't know if Bryce Young is going to look like he could be the future, and then the next week he looks again back like he's a middle school kid trying to play in the NFL. And again, like Bryce, pulling for him. But once again, week to week, we don't know what this team is going to do. And if you do over, they are a building team. They're trying to build something. I think this season will be an improvement. Like I said, already at 5-5, I think any Panther fan from the past few seasons will take that. I'm still not ready to say Bryce Young is the answer for quarterback for this franchise. But we shall see.
And you're talking about the real version of the Panthers and how we don't know what you're going to get out of them. I know exactly what we're going to get out of them. We're going to get more losses than wins the remaining of this year. And here's why. They're playing the Falcons, division opponent. They blanked them in the first game.
Yeah,
I don't think that happens again.
Not in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, not in Atlanta. They play the Falcons. Then they play the 49ers. Still going to be a competitive game, even though the 49ers aren't great. Yeah. Then they play the Rams. Then they play the Saints again. In New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Then they got to play the Bucks, who are injured, and I still bet my money on the Bucks. Yeah. Then they got to play right now, currently, top of their division, NFC West, Seahawks. Mm-hmm. And then they close out again in Tampa.
Yeah.
So if I'm putting any money down and I'm not a gambling man, I say they lose more than half those games, which means that they have a losing record. And most likely they miss the playoffs because they're not going to get a wild card spot with a losing record. Yeah. Not in today's NFL. It's too many good teams. So, I think this is the second half. This is the bad time of the year for you to lose the types of games that they're losing. And I think that's the thing that kind of hurt them the most. They started off hot. They won some games that kind of shocked the league. And everybody's like, oh, look at the Panthers. They're kind of hanging. They're holding their own. But now things are about to start to get ugly. Imagine those same wins on their record now going into this schedule that they have in front of them. You feel completely different about them, even though they're the same damn team.
Yeah.
You still feel different about them because they went and got the wins that you knew that they were capable of getting.
Yeah, I think the Saints game just stands out. Like, I can get with the other, but, the Saints-Packer game kind of cancel each other out now. But that's a game that they could have won – been 6-4 instead of 5-5. And like you say, yeah, you look at their schedule, I think at best they might win two of those games. So they might not get to that 8-9. But
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think they win. Wow. Yeah. I don't see them winning three more games.
Nah.
I just don't. Mathematically, I don't see it. And I think the other teams that they're playing are more equipped to get the win versus the Panthers.
Yeah.
Stop the run, limit Bryce Young, win the game, you know, yeah. and then go home. Yeah. So let's roll to the Baltimore Ravens. Will the real Baltimore Ravens please stand up? A little unfair, okay, because we know Lamar Jackson's been injured for a large chunk of the season. And, you know, they tried their hardest to put the team on Derrick Henry's back. You know, I'm going to love Derrick Henry forever, man. He is a football player's football player through and through. Their defense has been horrendous most of the season. Yeah. Wow. They're starting to kind of find their groove, you know, middle of the year. That's common. We've seen that happen from time to time. But when it comes to the Ravens as a whole, you, from the very beginning, you said this from the beginning of the season. You said, you better watch out, man, because they're struggling. But if you mess around and let the Ravens make the playoffs, it's going to be ugly for you. Go ahead, go in. Give me what you got.
Yeah, especially now when you see the Steelers. They're like a game behind Pittsburgh. They're getting Lamar Jackson back. They're getting healthy. And I think they would have turned it around if Jackson hadn't have gotten hurt, right? They started the season off rough. And we were just like, okay, but they're good teams. They're losing two, but still, what's wrong with them? And then Jackson goes down. Of course, then they lose some games when they were trying to play Cooper Rush. Then they bring in Huntley. So they play better with him. So now they got Jackson back. They're right there. And like you said, I said, don't let the Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs. Because healthy beginning of the year, we talked about who do we trust, who we believe in, who are the teams. And it's the Chiefs, it's the Ravens, and the Bills. We'll get into the Bills in a minute. But those were the three teams, right? Those were the norms that we expect to come out of the AFC. So now here we are, coming back from 1-5 now to 4-5 at the moment. They have Jackson. And their schedule, if you look at it, I think they could get in. They play Cleveland. They play the Jets. They play Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati again, Pittsburgh again. So let's see here. So you look and say 1, 2, 3, 4. I think they can get 4 to 5 wins out of that schedule. I think they split a lot of the divisional games. They got to go to Green Bay. But, again, we already talked about them. We don't know what they're going to be. And Lamar Jackson's a baller. Look at his numbers. All he does is put up great numbers. And normally all he does is win. So I say for the AFC, all those Patriots are looking great right now. Okay, we know the Chiefs are the Chiefs. We expect the Bills, again, going to talk about them, but we expect them to be right in the mix. But again, the Baltimore Ravens, what were they, a drop pass last year from going to the next round in the playoffs, right?
Yes.
So, of beating Buffalo, yeah. So, getting that matchup with the Chiefs. So, I think, again, let's not discount Harbaugh. Let's not discount Lamar and this team. They're still a good football team. They were figuring it out. Then they got the injury bug. So, once again, don't let them into playoffs. That's all I say.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. Looking at the rest of their schedule, I think they only lose 2 more games the rest of the year.
Oh, wow.
Browns, Jets, Bengals, Steelers, they played them twice. I think they split that. Mm-hmm. They played the Bengals twice. I think they split that. Mm-hmm. I think they embarrassed the Patriots. Even though they're a well-run team.
It's in Baltimore, yeah.
I think that's enough for them to win, and especially to win that division where we've seen, you know, Aaron Rodgers struggle.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen him struggle the last couple of weeks, and, you know, we know he's great. He's always been a great quarterback, but he's still in his 40s. He's coming off an Achilles tear. You know, all those miles add up, and he looks more hesitant as a quarterback than he ever has in my eyes. I've never seen him hesitate so much standing in the pocket. So I that's one thing that Lamar Jackson does not do. That dude don't blink. He's going to go out there and do whatever he needs to do to get an extra yard, to make that extra pass. I think it's their division to win. They're you know, 4-5 currently. Yes. I think it's not out of the realm of possibility for them to only lose 2 more games the rest of the year and win that division and host a playoff game. I think it's absolutely possible. And the other thing I'm going to do is give them credit. Their defense, man, playing the Bears was their get-right game. Mm-hmm. You know, they held them to 16 points, and you know, and then they played the Dolphins, held them to 6 points. Vikings, you know, held them to 19 points. They've been able to kind of figure out what they need to do to just stop teams from scoring, holding them to field goals, and keeping the score low. Now you got Lamar Jackson back, and it's like, okay, now we're going to go down and run up the score on these guys. So good for them. Perfect time of year, middle of the season. They can go ahead and make their runs and move things up. And I like their chances of making the playoffs easily.
So I'm going to go ahead with it. I'm going to go ahead with my Colin Cowherd, Skip Bayless, Stephen A. take, hot take. The Baltimore Ravens will win the division.
Stop it. Hold on. You mean the division or do you mean the AFC?
The division.
Okay. All
right. I'm not crazy, man.
I mean, Skip Bayless would say the AFC. You know, like, dude, we all know, talked about, you know, Patrick Mahomes still
exists.
Yeah,
we already talked about it. Ain't nobody picking right now anybody to win it yet like that. But the division, they will win the division.
You know what? I'll do it. I'll take the Baltimore Ravens to win the AFC.
Wow. You're even going hotter.
I'll take the Baltimore Ravens to win the AFC.
Wow.
Because I like their chances against every team in the AFC matchup wise. The way that they're playing defense, Lamar Jackson being back. I don't think they rushed him back to play this year.
Not at all.
If there was a chance that he was more injury prone than what he was at the beginning of the year, he wouldn't be out there. He's their franchise, man.
Yeah.
And everything was going horrible.
Yeah.
So I'll take it. Bills out of the picture. No one, as great as the Patriots have been, I don't think anybody really trusts them, even though we know that they're solid and they're well coached and they're playing well.
They're looking good.
I'll take the Ravens. I'll take the Ravens to make it to the Super Bowl. You can put my name on it. And if I'm wrong, you know, sue me.
We got it. We got it on tape. So let's jump to the other team that we discussed. We talked about one more team. Those Buffalo Bills. Will the real Buffalo Bills please stand up? Will the real Josh Allen please stand up? Reigning defending MVP, please stand up.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me, man. I prematurely declared Josh Allen the best quarterback in the league. I think that was week two.
Yeah.
Week two, week three, when they were out there blasting teams. Okay, let's talk about it. They've been playing up and down football all year. You know, they go and they win their Super Bowl by beating the Chiefs.
Well, they do that every year. Yeah, they do that every year in the regular season. Yeah.
And then they go out and to the Dolphins, which, I mean, we've been firing his coach every week for 5 weeks.
That's definitely somebody I want.
They don't even have a coach.
That's definitely who I wanted on a head on a stick. Yeah.
Head on a stick. We wanted to get Mike McDaniels the hell up out of there.
Gold rim glasses.
You lose to them without Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
You go and you lose to the – now, again, that is a division game. We know how division games go. But you score 13 points on them.
It's a blowout.
And as you look at the remaining schedule that they have, their inconsistency is so week to week that it's hard for you to project how they're actually going to play. So they play the Bucs, the Texans, the Steelers, the Bengals, Patriots – The back half of their schedule is really AFC heavy, and you don't know what Josh Allen you're going to get. We know that dude's great. Again, MVP level caliber player, but he can't do it all by himself, and I think that's evident. I'll admit this, you know, on record. I didn't watch the Bills-Dolphins game. I just didn't have it up.
Yeah.
But as I was watching just kind of the ticker, you know, you can't watch every single game from beginning to end.
No.
I was trying to figure out, like, what happened. I'm like, did somebody get hurt? Like, you know, was there a major injury that I'm missing? And it's just like, no, he just played poorly.
Played bad.
You know, the team was unable to produce. And here's the interesting thing. I'm going to point this out to you because I don't know if you caught this. And then I'm going to shut the hell up and let you go. Now, some of this could have been garbage stats. Josh Allen was 28 for 40, 306 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick.
And he also
that doesn't signify 13 points.
No, he also fumbled, lost a fumble.
There you go. Now, okay, so and so the fumble. So that's two turnovers. So two turnovers, two touchdowns, 300 yards passing. It's to the Dolphins, which are bad across the board. Yeah. Every aspect of their team is bad. So it's a terrible loss. But even with all that, man, they're still 6-3. They're still at the top of their division. Like they're close. They're right there. And I still don't trust them. It was my fault, man. It was my error for trying to give Josh Allen the credit too early in the year instead of making him prove it, and especially have him prove it in the playoffs, which he's never done.
Yeah.
So I'll lay on my sword for that one. That was something that I probably shouldn't have done. But what was your takeaway from the Bills and just kind of how they're flailing this year?
Man, we talk about this. You talk about how you don't trust anybody. And we talk about these teams, and they have these losses. We brought up the Packers already. The Bills, of course, I think are even more favorite in the AFC. You think Josh Allen got that MVP finally. They're going to take that next step. But it seems like they're the same Buffalo Bills from every year. Is they give you they make you think and give you hope, especially if you're a Bills fan. But then you lose to the Falcons. Like you mentioned the Dolphins, like you score 13. You only score 14 against the Falcons. So yeah. Those are the losses, right? The Patriots beating you in Buffalo was a shocker. And then you have these two bad losses. So, again, Buffalo will be a team. They'll be in the playoffs. But these games that you look at, I think that Tampa game going to be tough. In Houston will be tough. Even though, depending on who the quarterback's going to be for Houston, at New England will be tough. Philadelphia comes to Buffalo. That will be tough. And I'm sure the Jets on that last week of the season, if it counts, I mean, they're going to try their best. And don't discredit the Jets. They play tough. They play hard. I mean, they're not great. They're not good at all, actually. But a divisional game. So, but the main thing is to me is the same Buffalo Bills as I see every season. They have ups and downs. And then everybody's going to pick them. And tell me that Josh Allen's the greatest football player. Not you, though. And then, but I just feel like every year this is what we get. And I don't try to fire coaches, and I'm not trying to put that out there on McDermott because he always has them there. But what if they don't win the division? How does that look on the MVP that a second-year quarterback and Vrabel in his first year lead the Patriots to win the division? That's a bad look on Buffalo because you got, like we talked, they're the favorite. They're one of the favorites out of the AFC. We talk about the Chiefs, we talk about the Bills, and, of course, we mentioned the Ravens. So, again, to me, it's just inconsistency year to year from Buffalo. Now, they could go on a – they get hot sometimes. They could go on a run. But we want to see – they need to cut out these bad losses. That's for sure, like any team. And I think this year we've seen that from a lot of teams. But – that's the biggest thing. I think they're the same. They're the same Buffalo Bills as every year, and just like we talked about the Ravens, until you get to the playoffs, until you beat Patrick Mahomes, until you get over that hump to the Super Bowl, it is what it is.
Yeah, man. And God bless them. They have a shot every year. They're competitive every year. I think they'll still be competitive in the AFC. Like, mm-hmm. If they make it to an AFC championship game, I don't think either of us would be shocked just because we know that Josh Allen is that talented. He's one of those guys, man. He is that dude.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think – I guess if you have to say the top three quarterbacks in the league are all AFC quarterbacks, I think in whatever order you want to pick, you go Mahomes, Allen, Jackson. Is that fair to say?
I think some would say that, yeah. I don't think it's okay. Bad to say that.
No, I mean, but in terms of like top three, yeah. And there they are all in the AFC. Mm-hmm. So all three of those guys are capable of putting their team on their back and supermaning their way through a win. So Josh Allen's going to have to show it. Mm-hmm. And I apologize to the universe for trying to take Patrick Mahomes' throne as the greatest quarterback in the league currently. I mean, I was going to give it to Josh Allen because I felt as if he'd earned it with the way he played last year and the way he started off the season this year. But yeah, I mean, he's gonna have to, you know, he's making me look like a fool, man. You know how when Skip Bayless, calls someone great and then they start failing and he bashes them. I'm not gonna do that to Josh Allen.
No, we know he's, but we know he's great. Yeah,
he is great. Yeah, so I'm gonna give him some time. I'm gonna give him some grace because we know he has that in him. And if he turns this thing around and has a crazy run for the rest of the season and blows through the playoffs and wins the Super Bowl, neither one of us would be surprised.
Nope.
Yeah.
Hey, so to kind of end this before we get into the fun stuff, which I think is all fun, but right now, really quick, give me like maybe 3 to 4 teams that you believe in, or do we?
So I have said, I believe I said it twice, that I don't trust none of these motherfuckers.
That is true.
Oh, man. Okay, so 3 to 4. Okay, so I'll do this. I'll give you 3 to 4 teams. I'll pick 2 from each conference.
Okay.
In the AFC, I am going to have to go with the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Okay.
In the NFC, it's a tougher question. The only team I really trust for certain is the Philadelphia Eagles. And if I have to pick another one, I'll give them their credit for winning and losing in consistent fashion, but always trying to give themselves the best chance to win. I see you, Detroit.
Yeah.
I'll give it to the Lions.
Okay.
So that's my 4. Okay. So I'll go Kansas City, Baltimore, Philly, and Detroit.
Okay. So here I go. I've got 3 NFC and I got 1 AFC. The AFC, I'm just going based off of right now. Like you said, I don't know that I trust them, but the Patriots are what they are at the moment, okay? They are what they are. They're sitting up there at the top. I trust them. I think I trust them more than the Colts because we talked about the Colts before. I like what you said. I like that Ravens and Chiefs. Again, Chiefs, they're the team until they get knocked out. And then my other 3 are the Eagles, the Lions, and the Rams.
Why the Rams? I'm just curious. Just real quick.
I mean, Matthew Stafford, to me right now, if Jalen Hurts is not the MVP, then Matthew Stafford's the MVP right now. And and their losses were 1 to the Eagles, 1 to the Niners, in which they decided to just not tie the game and go for it. It is, you know, divisional game, Thursday night game. So, to me, I think they don't really have a bad loss. I mean, even though the Eagles came back to beat them, the Eagles are the Eagles. They're the Super Bowl champs. No shame in that. So, I really like the Rams. But Rams, Lions, Eagles, and then AFC really is a toss-up right now. But the Patriots are sitting up there. They're playing the best football. So, I'll give them on this week, on this episode, the love.
So, I'll say this, man, and I just want to make this point. Matthew Stafford has been playing incredible football.
Yes.
Matthew Stafford right now currently has 25 touchdowns to 2 interceptions.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Yep. And you know how this goes. It's typical sports talk when you mention how someone has a very low this or a very high percentage that, and then they go out and have a 3 interception.
Yeah,
game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I hope I didn't jinx them, but 25 touchdowns to 2 picks at this point in the year is insane.
Yep.
If Patrick Mahomes was doing that, sports media personalities all over every network and every internet platform would be having convulsions on the floor if Mahomes was doing this and putting up these types of stats.
Chris Collinsworth would be losing it.
Chris Collinsworth, oh my God. His eyes would be rolling in the back of his head right now. He'd have his O face. But right now, I'm going to give it to Stafford,
yeah,
man. Your boy's cooking. You. So, no, the Rams are a damn good pick. I'm going to give you that.
Ooh.
Fun.
F-U-N.
Now we're having fun.
Now we're getting into our fun random topic. Today is a little comparison. I don't think there's a wrong or right answer here. We just thought it'd be fun to talk about. We saw this quote from Travis Hunter. I think you said it was earlier this year, just saying that it was harder to play both sides of the football in football, offense, defense, than doing like Shohei Ohtani, who is pitching and hitting.
All right, you're the baseball guy.
All right, so first off, I will say, obviously, physically, the physicality of playing football is tougher, right? He's not wrong. Like, if you're playing defense and offense in the National Football League, that is obviously that is tough. Shohei, on the other hand, he pitches every 5 days if he's healthy, right? Pitch every 5 days. He's hitting in every game. And I guess you would look at that and you would say, yeah, that's obviously not as tough as playing both sides of the field in football. Now, I will say, though, it's tough to do what Shohei's doing, to hit 50-some home runs and then also dominate pitching. So it's a little bit different there, right? Now, obviously, again, he's not playing every game in the field. He doesn't play the field. So at least he is pitching, and pitching is putting – that's work, to pitch 6 innings, 7 innings, 90 to 100 pitches, and then go out there and when it's your time to hit, crush the ball. Like we talked about before, this is something baseball's never seen. It is not like another baseball – normal baseball players you talk about, because he – and I think I've even said it. I was like, well, he doesn't play the field, but he does pitch. Pitching is a little bit harder than just playing the field. You might get a ball hit to you in your position, right? And then you go up there and hit. So they act like, you know, Shohei's not doing something just because he doesn't play the field and he's the DH. But then, like I said, when he is asked to play, he is pitching. And again, that's a lot of work on him. That's a lot of work. And again, for him to do it as well as he does, we have to give, again, I always say everybody's giving him credit. He's about to be a 4-time MVP. So in that respect, it is tough what he's doing to dominate pitching and hitting. But again, I'm no dummy. Again, physically, it is tough to play both sides of the field in football. I will say, though, I don't see anyone dominating both sides of the field in football. Deion was really good at defense, obviously, one of the best cornerback ever. And then he was a pretty good receiver, right? But he was also returning kicks as well. So we could really say Deion was playing three phases of the game, maybe the greatest athlete. He should be up there in the greatest athlete ever. So for Travis Hunter, again, I think if you play every down, like college, Travis Hunter was the man, right? He was dominating both sides of the ball. So if you play a lot of the snaps on both sides and you're getting the picks and you're getting the catches and the touchdowns, then we got a lot to say there. But obviously, once again, just to get back physically, there's no brainer. Football is tougher to physically play. But then on the flip side, again, baseball is, again, to hit a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports.
You really played both sides there, man.
I know, right? I don't have a take. You know, I think it's just a fun conversation to break down both ways, right?
It is, and I will say valid points, and you're right. I do think if you took both of them and put them side by side, it's harder to do it in football because of the physical nature of the game, and not only that, but the unpredictability of what can happen on any play. Mm-hmm. Where with pitching, you see the ball coming. You know, when you're batting, you see the ball coming, you know, running bases. And like, it's just like the injuries that take place in baseball is just different.
Yeah.
There's not the chance of you. I mean, obviously technically there is a chance in any sport, but the chances of you having something happen to you that you don't see coming is just, it's slimmer than it is in football.
Yeah.
So that's just on one thing, but I'm going to switch this just a little bit. And I'm going to use Deion as an example, because the comparisons between Travis Hunter and Deion are obvious. Clearly, mm-hmm. Travis Hunter played for Colorado when Deion was the coach, recruited him there. you know, star player, playing on both sides. We got all of that. But what I'd like for Travis Hunter to do is to take a look at Deion Primetime Sanders right now and take a look and see the suffering that his body has taken.
Yeah.
As an older, who's still in great shape. You see that he's had, you know, cancer, which obviously this may or may not have, you know, been football related and whatever. Yeah. But he's had, you know, toes amputated. Mm-hmm. He's walking with a little bit of a limp. Yeah. He's a beaten up former athlete, one of the greatest athletes of all time.
Yeah.
And in his golden years, when he has an opportunity to be a really, really good coach, his health is suffering. And I want Travis Hunter to take this as an opportunity to say, hey, I have a chance to pick one. So either play defense and be a great defensive player or be a fantastic wide receiver. And I think he has the talent to be able to pick one and be great and amazing at it. I'd like for him to just consider it, because one thing that Deion had that Travis Hunter doesn't really have is Deion was stout.
Yeah.
Like Deion was a bigger guy.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter's really slim.
Yep.
He's a lighter guy. And he's young, and his youth and athleticism are going to carry him for these first couple of years. Then shit's going to start to hurt. Then it's going to be tougher for you to get out of bed. And so I would like to see him, and not only that, this is just his first year, so I'm going to be fair to him. This is his rookie year. He's now coming in, and he's trying to find his way. But the way this season is going for him statistically on both sides, I think it'd be smart for him as a player to sit down and try not to reinvent the wheel and try not to do something that insurmountable as to play on both sides and just pick one thing and be a master of that and then allow that to translate your greatness to everyone. Maybe they throw him in if they need a super athletic guy on a big play, sure. But week to week, game to game, I just don't think it's wise for him, and I think it's tougher. It's different for Shohei, man. At some point, Shohei Ohtani's going to stop hitting and pitching. It's going to happen. He's not going to do it for his entire career. I guarantee it. I'll put any amount of money on it, and it'll be quicker than you think, because I really think he's only got about 3 or 4 more years, and then they'll just say, you know what, dude, we're just going to make you our ace. We don't need you to bat. His numbers are going to fall as he ages. These are the things that are going to happen. It's great while it lasts, but I'd like to see him shift things. Both of those guys, I'd like to see them shift things, because you only get one paycheck.
Yeah.
They can't pay you for playing two positions, as great as Ohtani is and as great as Hunter is.
So to respond to that, Deion, obviously, anytime you play football for a long time, we see all these football players, you know, it takes a toll on your body. And I didn't even mention, like I said, he played 3 phases of the game, and then he went and played baseball. So,
and played baseball. So,
but
yes.
You see with, like, Travis Hunter and Shohei. Travis Hunter now out for the season with an injury. So, like you said, his body is already his first year. He didn't make it through half the season. So, he's already hurt, out for the year. Shohei's already had arm issues, surgery. He bounced back, pitched this year, obviously won the World Series, pitched in it. But, yeah, for Shohei, I agree with that. He will not do both forever.
I give him 3-4 more years, said, max.
Yeah, he will give up the pitching, and he will just be a DH, because obviously normally you can last longer hitting than pitching. We do have the, you know, every once in a while you get the Nolan Ryan, Justin Verlanders that pitch into their 40s. So Max Scherzer, again, he just pitched in the World Series too. So every once in a while, but arm issues are real in baseball. That's the biggest thing. Like you talked about injuries. So for Shohei, if we're talking about now picking a side, yeah, eventually I think he probably will be just a DH and hit. And Travis Hunter, again, it's up to him and the Jaguars to figure out, because they gave up a lot to get him. So they got to figure out then what's best and where's he going to help them the most and what's his best position.
Yeah, and I the only thing I'm going to disagree with is this isn't a decision for the Jaguars. We see what the Jaguars will run you into the ground. It's not a decision for them to make. I think it's on Hunter.
Okay.
I think he needs to be smart. I think he needs to be smart, and he needs to think about forget. I mean, I went way into his post football future.
Okay.
even if he's just thinking about his actual football future, his literal football future, and look at what happened to him in year one, where everyone is a supreme athlete that you're on the field with, your teammates and the defenses that you're playing. And it ended this season early, halfway through the year, with an LCL injury.
Yeah.
So keep those things in mind, young man. Like, the league is never going to protect you, because if he shreds his knees up and he's done – I mean, just think about – and we talked about this a couple of episodes before.
Yes.
Think about how fantastic RG3 was, man. RG3 was a stud athlete.
Yeah.
One knee injury ruined his career. As a quarterback, ruined his career.
Yeah.
So as great as Travis Hunter is, this could set you back and ruin your production to make a living in the NFL.
And you mentioned past episodes, we talked about the frailty of like a Jaden Daniels and Bryce Young, and we weren't even thinking about non-quarterbacks like Travis Hunter.
He's a slim guy.
Got to bulk up a little bit, and then, you know, probably smart. Then if you're going to be small, then you got to pick a side.
Yeah, pick a side, man, and perfect it. And he's great enough at both sides to where if he dialed in to be the league's best DB, he can absolutely do it. Same thing with the wide receiver. If you want to be the guy who's celebrating in the end zone, scoring touchdowns, you can focus and do that too. But doing this back and forth, playing both sides of the ball, thinking that, you know, you're the Iron Man, those days are numbered.
I'm going to close this out. I mean, I don't know how fun a topic that was, but I think it's fun if you think about which one's tougher and which one's better, which one's easier. I'm not going to give you an answer, but I think we can both – I think we agree it's tougher in football, but I think we both can agree you are a superior super athlete if you're doing what either of these men are doing.
Well, and I'll end it with this, and this is to give Shohei his flowers, even though he doesn't need them from me. We see what his greatness is and what has resulted in winning World Series. For him to be able to do that at the highest level, it answers the question. Like, we know that it's a very hard, difficult thing to do. He did it at the highest level on the world stage, and it results in championships. Yeah. So kudos to him. And it is a tough thing to do, and it's the only reason, you know, why the only people they can compare him to is Babe Ruth.
that right there says enough, right?
Yeah.
Just Shohei he plays against more than white people. That's all I got to say.
yeah, he does. Yeah, those Dominican guys are there.
Everybody.
Yeah. Everybody there.
All right. That is another episode of Fanatically Speaking. I am Kent, your co-host and promoter.
I am Logoff, the Logoff legend, the hater of all things social media. Speaking of social media, follow us on our social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. The podcast is available Apple, Spotify, YouTube, iHeartRadio.
Amazon,
anywhere you find your podcast, that's where you can find us. We're on all of our platforms. Like, rate, share, subscribe, review, post, comment. Any interaction is a good interaction. If you think one of our takes is garbage, let me know. I don't care. I can take it. And what do you got, Kent?
Yeah, like you said, interact with us. We get some off the social media and off the internet. But, you know, leave us some reviews. Leave us some comments. Just whatever you want to tell us. And the only other thing I got is we're going to have some fun stuff coming up episode-wise. Change it up a little bit. Possibly collab, first guest, do another podcast, who knows? Just be on the lookout for some cool, fun stuff.
Yeah, and keep engaging. Yeah, reach out whenever on any platform. Like I said, whether it's a comment, whether it's a DM, whether it's a review, send it in, and you know, one of us will make sure to see it, and we'll probably go ahead and we'll acknowledge it on the show. So whatever you got, go ahead and send it to us. Send it our way.
So will the real Fanatically Speaking fans stand up?
Yes. Yeah, any of you. Yeah, please stand up. That is it, man.
It's a wrap.
I am good.
All right, let's
kill it. Yeah, you can kill it. Yeah, anytime.